Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Moose Johnson's going to join us. Darryl Johnston from the NFL on Fox in studio coming up here in about 35 minutes from now. Then also next hour, we did track down Roy Jones Jr. finally. Yesterday we were looking for him. Finally got him, sat down with him. That's coming up next hour on the show. Let me tell you about our conversation with Roy Jones Jr., which we will play next hour. It was really cool because I was able to ask him what he thought about Floyd Mayweather historically. You know, many people consider Roy Jones Jr. one of the greatest pound-for-pound fighters of all time. And a lot of people have asked him where he thinks he stands historically. I wanted to know where he thought Floyd stood historically. And we got into the conversation about how Floyd has cherry-picked opponents to remain undefeated, and that has kind of been his aura. That is how he has sold so many fights. I thought it was really interesting what Roy told me about that. Then also, I asked him about his greatest wars inside that ring, because there were some moments where it felt like Roy Jones Jr. was beaten and couldn't dig any deeper, and then finally did. He had some great anecdotes about that, some great moments that he remembers nearly being, his career being over nearly, and then kind of coming back and digging even deeper. So I'm excited to play that for you coming up here next hour on the show. Last night, college football playoff rankings out. The final ones before the final ones. So these are the penultimate rankings. Clemson 1, Auburn 2, Oklahoma 3, Wisconsin 4. Let me say this. I wouldn't be surprised in the least if this is our college football playoff once we have the dust settle on Saturday's games, Friday and Saturday's games. I think Clemson's going to beat Miami. I think Auburn is going to beat Georgia. I think Oklahoma is going to beat TCU. The question is, can Wisconsin stay undefeated? Ohio State is a heavy favorite of this one. A lot of money coming in on Ohio State. Line had moved 4 points since it opened from Buckeyes laying 2.5 to Buckeyes laying 6.5 in some places. So there's a lot of confidence in Ohio State, and I understand why. The Buckeyes, when they were rolling earlier in the season, had an offense to die for. JT Barrett was fantastic, and the Buckeyes looked like, after that loss to Oklahoma, they were a completely different program, and were going to run roughshod through the Big Ten. Well, that didn't happen because they got pounded by Iowa. Wisconsin has not played a great schedule. Most of that is not Wisconsin's fault. They simply reside on the side of the Big Ten where a lot of programs are down and doesn't have Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, Penn State. But I believe Wisconsin will find a way to get this thing done. I believe Wisconsin is far more disciplined and balanced than people give them credit for. And I think Wisconsin's a better team today than they were a month ago, certainly 2 months ago, and certainly when they began the season. I think Wisconsin finds a way to get it done, and that the four teams you see at the top of the playoff rankings will be the four teams we have in the playoff after Saturday. So, in that way, did the football rankings, did the playoff committee get it right? I think so. I don't think it really matters in those top four where you stack the top four. It just matters that those are the top four, and with wins from those four teams, they're all in. Here's what's interesting. Number one, Oklahoma would probably be in right now, no ifs, ands, or buts, if they didn't have a Big 12 title game. You know, I mean, maybe it would hurt them because Alabama would also be 11-1. And I think in a neutral field, most college football prognosticators, most college football playoff committee members might lean towards Alabama simply because of the Nick Saban factor, of the defense factor, of the experience factor. But Oklahoma at 11-1 with that type of offense, with a Heisman Trophy winner, already wrapping up a Big 12 championship and not having to potentially stub its toe against the Horny Toads, this might end up tripping them up, incredibly, because TCU's not getting in. Even with a win, TCU's not in. So it'll be so Big 12 to finally get their football playoff entry point, that 13th data point to have a Big 12 title game and have it come back to bite them. This would just be the most Big 12 thing ever. But I think Oklahoma wins. As for number seven, the U, Miami dropping all the way out of the top four from number two to number seven. Big drop because they lost to a 4-8 Pitt team. I don't mind. I don't mind seeing Miami drop all the way that far because two things. Number one, people ignored the fact, because they were undefeated, that Miami slipped by a lot of very mediocre programs. They needed late help against some bad teams like Florida State, like Syracuse, like North Carolina. They needed late wins, late magic to beat some bad football teams. And that Notre Dame win looks worse and worse by the week. Notre Dame has three losses now. They drop all the way seven slots to 15. So Miami's defining moment of the season comes against a team that ended up with three losses. So I don't mind Miami dropping a seven. I will tell you, I think they're in if they beat Clemson. I think they will jump into the top four with a win over Clemson. So essentially, the SEC winner, because Georgia's at number six, ACC, SEC, those are quarterfinal games. Those are divisional round games if you're an NFL fan. Those will feed into the playoff. I've got no question about that. But here's the question. Alabama at five, Ohio State at eight. The committee did something right there that we talked about yesterday. They made a clear delineation between a one-loss team and a two-loss team. Ohio State is the highest two-loss team. But they made Alabama number five. What does that tell you? Guys, it tells you if you're in Columbus, even with a win, you can't be confident. That's what that tells you. It tells you that that committee looks at a loss to Auburn a lot differently then it looks at Ohio State's two losses. You can say one's really good against Oklahoma, DA. That's true. It means the committee is holding, getting blown out by Iowa against Ohio State, and that it's not assured that if the Buckeyes win, they are in. It might mean if the Buckeyes win, Alabama's in. Now, I don't know. Ohio State at number eight beating the number four team of the country, maybe that's enough to slide them into four. But this tells me the committee has left itself room to put Alabama in, even if it doesn't win the SEC. Alabama would have nothing to do this weekend, obviously. They're idle. That's big. That's really big. I said this yesterday. If you gave me Alabama versus Ohio State on a neutral field right now, I would take Alabama. Alabama's season was way more well-rounded than Ohio State. Ohio State had very high highs and very low lows.
Alabama was far more consistent and then lost to arguably the best team of the country right now in Auburn, which Auburn's resume would look so much different. And I realize this is kind of an unfair if. Ifs and nuts, soups and nuts, all that type of jazz. But they lost a 20-point lead to LSU. They should have waxed LSU. They were up by 20. If they beat LSU, all they got to do is hold on to beat LSU. If they hold on to beat LSU, the only loss for Auburn is on the road at Clemson by less than a touchdown. It was an ugly game, defensive struggle, but that would be their only loss. Auburn would feel a lot different. I know it has two losses, so it's hard to say. I get it. But if they hold on to a 20-point flipping lead against LSU, their only loss is on the road at Clemson. So what the committee is saying is, and this is where I agree, Alabama's resume is better than Ohio State's resume. Had a much more consistent season. And in some ways, more trustworthy. Because Ohio State has had two really bad days. And one was against Iowa on a really bad day. So I would tell Tide fans, last night was as good as it could get for you. I still think it's going to take a bit of a work of God for two teams to get in for the same conference. I really think the committee does not want to do that. However, by putting Bama at 5 and Ohio State at 8, they basically said, nope, just winning the Big Ten is not automatically in. Alabama, we will consider. By putting them at 5, Alabama, we will consider. But let me tell you this, as I've said all season long. The playoff committee is brilliant in this way. They reserve the right to change their minds at any point in time. There are no laws. There are no rules. They say we take the 4 best teams, and that can change any week. So guessing is a bit of a fool's errand anyway. 855-212-4CBS. Daniel tweets, retired lawyers probably watch the adult version of Ren and Stimpy. Still wondering what Dana White meant when he said he knows retired lawyers that go home and watch cartoons all day. What cartoons? Like adult cartoons? Like weird internet cartoons? Like porno cartoons? Or like Nickelodeon cartoons? I'm still looking for that. E tweets, for Eli to say that he didn't even talk to Mr. Merritt is disgusting to think about that. He should have been the first person to talk to Eli. I hope Eli goes to another team and wins a Super Bowl. Hashtag, I'm a disgusted Giants fan. The New York Giants yesterday lost a lot of fans. A lot. I mean, you saw the outcry on social media, on sports talk radio. Fans came out of the woodwork and just disavowed the franchise, disavowed the ownership, disavowed the Giants as their team of loyalty. It was stark. It was extraordinary. I mean, it's hard to butcher that as bad as the Giants butchered it. But they lost so much credibility in the eyes of their fans. We'll talk to Moose Johnson about that in studio with us coming up in about 25 minutes from now. When we return, Herm Edwards coming back to college football, perhaps? Why would he come back? Because you coach to win the game! DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Ernie Johnson, host of TNT's award-winning Inside the NBA.
Beam me up, DA.
You got it.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
21 minutes past the hour. DA with you on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, you could watch the show, and I highly encourage you to do so because we've got two in-studio guests coming up in the next 2 hours. Moose Johnston's going to join us in studio. We'll talk about the Eli situation with him coming up at 40 minutes past the hour, so 19 minutes from now. Watch it at watchda.com. That's mobile friendly on your phone, on your laptop, your smart TV. Also, you can watch Roy Jones Jr. in studio next hour, 1 hour from now. Vols fans are hot. Vols fans are real hot. the last 2 days, my take on the Vol situation with Greg Schiano is this. If you don't want to be associated, your program with Greg Schiano, because he's associated with Penn State, that's one thing. I can't argue there. I think the stink of Penn State should last forever with how awful that was. But I'm calling out as phonies the Vols fans who, not all of them, but the Vols fans who simply didn't want Greg Schiano because of a football resume that's uninspired and used a very convenient moral authority to say, yeah, and he's connected to Penn State. Man, just be real. If Urban Meyer or Nick Saban was available on the open market for the Vols to hire, 99% of Vols fans would say, oh, there's no real connection to him at Penn State. I mean, that's just hearsay. I mean, he wasn't even deposed. He wasn't even investigated or interviewed. He's been vetted so many times. Tampa Bay vetted him. Ohio State vetted him. Everybody says he had nothing to do with that. Right? I mean, let's be real here. If it was Nick Saban or it was Urban Meyer or it was somebody who was a slam dunk popular vote, you would make the argument, he's not really connected to Penn State. I mean, that's just hearsay. But because people didn't like Greg Schiano, they said, no, I mean, he's, come on, look, Penn State, sexual assault, children. And that's what I called out as being phony. Just say it for what it is. Didn't like him as a football coach. That's fine. That's every fan's right to say, I think our coach is a good hire. I think our coach is a bad hire. That's fine. But getting it all wrapped up into the Penn State thing, which is such a loose connection anyway, felt phony. Felt phony. Couple of Vols fans upset at me, social media. DA, heard your little dumbass rant where you revealed your quote-unquote anger. My request is come to Knoxville and let's see how far you get. We'll sort all of this hostility out. Thanks, I've been to Knoxville. Had a great time. It was awesome. Was tremendous. Always wanted to get to Neyland Stadium. Always wanted to be at Rocky Top. It lived up to every bit of what I had hoped throughout growing up and being in this business, getting to Knoxville for a game. I went last year. It was an episode of Nomad. I highly encourage you to watch it. It's my online travel series, and I had an amazing time. They treated me like gold. I hope the Vols get this right. They reached out to Mike Gundy. It felt like Gundy was somewhat interested. And then we find out he pulled back. Gundy would have been a slam dunk hire. The Vols, unfortunately, put themselves in a distressed position. I've got no angst towards UT, none at all. In fact, I hope they get this right because I love the SEC. And it's better when the pristine, prestige, legacy programs are good. I hope Dan Mullen knocks it out of the park at Florida. I hope whoever gets a Texas A&M job is great. And I hope the Tennessee hires the right guy because it's just better. I hope Arkansas hires the right guy. When the SEC has steady hands and good teams, it is great. But Tennessee has put itself in, as I said, a distressed situation. By pulling the rug back on Greg Schiano, good coaches are not going to want to come to Tennessee because they can't trust the guy that's hiring them. They can't trust that the lynch mob, that the angry rioters, that social media or the loud fans won't pull the rug out from under that coach and intimidate administration into doing something maybe the administration doesn't want to do. I don't think Greg Schiano is any great loss. I think the way that went down, you've got guys going, I don't want to get in the middle of that. Mike Gundy, I think, just used the Vols to get himself better leverage with Oklahoma State, which is what a lot of coaches do, which is another part of college football that I find pretty gross, is that we crucify kids all the time for leveraging themselves. Play the bowl game! Don't transfer. Why do you still bother about not playing time? Fight through it. Coaches, meantime, flirt with every school, every job, no intent to even take the job, just to get better leverage and more money and more concessions out of their current employers. And we go, well, that's just good business. You know, Mike Gundy is not looked at as anything that a good coach wouldn't do. Jimbo Fisher has done this for 3 years in a row in Tallahassee. Oh, you know what? So-and-so wants me, so I need this out of you guys. But David Cutcliffe says, thanks, no thanks. Mike Gundy, thanks, no thanks. I think Tennessee has now put itself in a terrible spot. You wouldn't feel very steady. You wouldn't feel very secure going into a situation where things can come back on you, boomerang on you so dramatically. 855-212-4CBS. John's in Tennessee, listening on CBS Sports Radio 640. What's going on, John?
DA, I'm a depressed Vol fan. I need some cheering up. Can you beam me up?
Yes, sir. I'll do my best. What you got?
Hey, let me tell you something. You're dead on about Shiano. I will admit, when we found out it's Shiano, I was angry about the hire, and I had forgotten about his connection to Penn State.
I think a lot of people had.
And I think it was a means to an end for fans to use the moral aspect of it. And I agree with you. It's not right, but it is what it is. I'll leave this with you, and I'll hang up. There's a common denominator between the Tennessee Volunteers and the Cleveland Browns. And there's one man that runs both shows right now, and his name's Jimmy Haslam. And that's what's wrong with UT football. And fans have had it.
Yeah, and I don't blame Vols fans. And if Jimmy Haslam has that much input into the coaching decisions of the Tennessee Volunteers, you have made a deal with the devil. Because then it's not about football people making football decisions. It's not even about people inside that administration making football decisions or inside those walls. It's Jimmy Haslam, obviously deep ties to the athletic department, deep ties to the school, have been forever, now owner of the Browns. And this is the dark underbelly of college football and college athletics. When Phil Knight can make those types of decisions at Oregon, or when T. Boone Pickens makes those decisions at Oklahoma State, or when Jimmy Haslam makes those decisions at Tennessee, you've gone sideways. But in an arms race, you know, you make deals with devils because they've got the check to cut so that you can keep up. At Arizona State, Herm Edwards is apparently a serious contender. And I'll say this, Herm Edwards is a wildly entertaining interview. I had a chance to cover him for his 3 seasons in Kansas City. Him and I, pretty good sparring partners at press conferences, in interviews. He liked to give it. I liked to give it. So we were good sparring partners. But I never had any animosity towards Herm. I don't think Herm is the right hire for Arizona State. I feel like there's a Lovie Smith part of this here, where there are retired NFL coaches that want one last crack at it, know they're not going to get an NFL job, and will go to a desperate college looking for notoriety, thinking that those kids will be won over by a coach that has some fame in the NFL. Well, it is such a difficult job to be a head coach in college football. You've got to devote everything, and you've got to have energy and vigor and youth and connection to the younger kids. And I just don't think Herm has all of that. I don't know why you would want to come back except for one last crack at coaching. But I don't love any situation where a coach comes in and the administration says, and we're keeping all the coordinators and coach staff here. So you pick nothing. That never feels right. And that looks like what would happen at Arizona State if they hired Herm. It would be great for press conferences. I would love to have him mic'd up the first time Arizona State takes on UCLA and Chip tries to hang 70 on the Sun Devils. But to be honest, do I think that Herm Edwards is going to turn around ASU football? I do not. When we return, Moose Johnston's going to join us in studio. DA, CBS Sports Radio. We'll talk about the Eli Manning situation with Moose.
Are the glitch in the simulation.
And I'm trashing the rooster that wakes me up in the morning. Keep coming to my yard. All these chickens keep coming in my yard.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh no, not the chickens coming in your yard, Hurricane Jen. Welcome back, DA with you on CBS Sports Radio. Full episodes of the DA show available on iTunes. Simply search DA and CBS and you'll find those. If you missed any part of the show, want to hear it again, full episodes available on iTunes. Simply search DA and CBS there. Also, the full episode of the DA show runs on loop at watchda.com. The most recent episode is always there. So no matter what time of the day it is, if you missed the show, you can always re-watch it. It is re-aired at watchda.com in sparkling technicolor.
Electronically ignorant.
As always, you can hit us up at 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. My next guest is a three-time Super Bowl champion. Most people would simply want to pick his brain on the current NFL, the dynastic Cowboys of the 1990s. However, he's found the one host that wants to talk about 1980s and 1990s Syracuse football as
there we
a
go.
Grad himself as well. Moose Johnston for the NFL on Fox joins us. Moose, how you doing, man?
I'm great. How you doing?
I'm doing great, brother. Thanks so much. It is good to have a fellow orange here in studio. And so I'll start there. I mean, why don't we talk about Syracuse football?
Yeah.
I mean, well, we know that they had that big win over Clemson, but it has been a program that's been tough to try to kind of get national exposure for since probably McNabb and Dwight Freeney were there.
Yeah.
What do you think it would take to try to push them to that next level and get some top 25 votes again and get them to where it was like when you guys were there?
Just winning consistently. Not having the up and downs. Not having, you know, a win against Clemson. You'd lost to Middle Tennessee State on the 30th anniversary of the undefeated team from 1987. Earlier in the season, he had a big lead against Wake Forest a couple weeks after Clemson. So there's some inconsistency at the program right now, but I do believe in Dino Babers. I really do. And I had an opportunity to meet with him this past spring, and we sat down. We spent 45 minutes talking, and it was really enlightening to me because my biggest question was, how are you going to bring this style of football to Central New York and get kids to come here?
The South or California, the Big 12.
How do you convince somebody to go to Central New York? And you got to bring them up in the wintertime. They got to see, you know, Syracuse at its worst. So when you sit across from Dino Babers and you see the passion that he has for the game, I have all the confidence in the world that he can walk into a living room, sit down with a mom and a dad and a recruit and convince him that Syracuse is a great opportunity for him. So I believe in what he's doing. Obviously, we need to find that component of the defensive side of the ball. And I think it's one of the things that gets lost in college football today when we're playing this up-tempo, let's try and squeeze five quarters into four quarters of play. Well, what happens to your defense? You know, you don't want – I don't like 72-63 games. It doesn't make sense to me. I like 31-24. I like 21-17. So I'd like to see a little bit of focus on the defensive side of the ball, and maybe we're just a little bit too much focused on the offense.
Obviously, the story of the day is about Eli Manning. You've done so many Eli and New York Giants games over the course of your career. It's not an easy thing to sit a legend. It's not an easy thing to sit the face of your franchise, but you could make the argument that the Giants need to see what else they have behind them because they're going to have this top five pick. But is the problem how they handled this yesterday?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I don't think anybody would have been upset if they'd have handled this the right way. And that being, we had them after the Rams game going into the 49er game. And this is when a lot of that conversation started. And the way they were talking about it at that point was, hey, listen, if we've got a game and it's not going the right way, and this happened in the Rams game, they were going to put Geno Smith in at that time. But, the Rams kind of controlled the ball. They really didn't have the opportunity except in the end. When we went out to San Francisco, I fully expected to see Geno Smith inactive and Davis Webb active, or all three of them active. That's how I thought that this would play out down the stretch, that you would go into the game trying to win it, because at that time Ben McAdoo said, Eli Manning gives us the best opportunity to win the game. I don't know what has changed from pre-San Francisco till now, but now he thinks Geno Smith gives him the best opportunity to win a game. So I have even more respect for Eli Manning, gracefully saying thank you for the opportunity to continue the streak, but if I'm not going to, you know, if I'm going to start the game, I want to finish the game, or at least to a point where now it makes sense with a Davis Webber, Geno Smith to come in. So you can't say enough for how he's handled this. It's the ugly side of the sport. There's a few guys that get to ride off into the sunset. John Elway, Jerome Bettis, Michael Strahan. We've gotten to see a few of them do that where they win Super Bowls and do that. But normally it ends kind of what we're seeing today with Eli Manning.
Moose Johnston joins us, the NFL on Fox, as we break down everything that happens in the NFL, what could happen to the NFL. When you guys were coming to the end of the Cowboys dynasty, was there any awkward situations about young players playing in place of guys that had been there before, gone to Pro Bowls, won Super Bowls?
Not really. My career came to an end prematurely because of an injury, so I didn't have to face that situation, but I'm sure it wasn't too far down the road. Michael's career ended because of injury. We exited on different circumstances. So even Troy's, people talk about the concussions, but maybe that was the closest one where it seemed to be more, the structure moving forward from a contract standpoint. So we didn't have, that really hard decision where somebody who's been the face of the franchise, the voice of the franchise for as long as Eli has been for the Giants, that was put into a situation where the change was happening. You can see it in certain places with Alex Smith in Kansas City. They're talking about that now. Is it time to see Patrick Mahomes out there down the stretch to see what we have there at quarterback, to see if we're going to re-sign Alex Smith? But when we were going through everything with the Giants and the 49ers, that was also the time that San Francisco had done the Garoppolo trade. And you forget how much coaches learn and see and observe during the course of the practice week. And Kyle Shanahan said, listen, I'm not putting Jimmy out there on the field until I feel comfortable with him running our offense. And he's not there right now. And this is a pretty complex offense. I'm watching the growth at the practice field. I'm seeing what he can do on the practice field. So there's a lot you can learn there. So that's one of the other questions I have with this whole decision with Eli. You know what you have with Geno Smith because he's played in the NFL before. You have an idea of what Davis Webb can be, and if that's the direction you want to go, I think people would have been all right with that. But just the way they handled the whole thing and ending the streak, and that's a tough thing for Giants fans to accept.
Former NFL veteran, fullback, 3-time champion Moose Johnston, also working alongside Liberty Tax, joining us here in studio. Speaking of your Cowboys, do you feel like their problems right now are solely injury and suspension related? In other words, losing Zeke, Tyron Smith, and Sean Lee, or is there something else that's problematic with the Cowboys?
I would say it runs a little bit deeper than that. I think they need a true dynamic number one wide receiver on the outside. I really thought Dez Bryant was going to have a great year this year. Injury plagued the last couple of seasons. Very excited. Saw him in the offseason, talked to him a couple of times, was really excited. Coming into this year, looks great physically. I just don't know why, that hasn't transitioned into a good year for him. But, they don't really have that guy that scares everybody on the outside. And that's why defenses were allowed when Ezekiel was in there to just let's drop down. Let's make sure we don't get beat in the running game because we feel like we have good matchups on the outside. There's nobody out here that really scares us from a matchup standpoint. Every once in a while, Terrence Williams has popped. Every once in a while, Cole Beasley has popped. And Dez has had his moments. But not consistently, and that's been the big challenge for Dallas right now. And in the secondary, they haven't played as well. Up front, it's been inconsistent with the pressure. Sometimes it's fantastic for a couple of weeks, and then it just disappears. So there's just this really inconsistent roller coaster of performance that Dallas is on right now.
You have one of the most telling quotes in NFL Films history, and so I'm going to go back a little bit. It was part of the America's Game of the 1995 Dallas Cowboys. I cite this a lot when we talk about that era. And at the end of it, you said you really felt like we won the Super Bowl in spite of our coaching. And this was kind of the chaos of the Barry Switzer year and conflict after Jimmy had left Dallas. When going back on that, does that say more about the talent of your team that you're able to kind of overcome that? Or does it suggest that if you didn't have problems with the coach, there would have been more championships after that?
Well, we all speculate if Jimmy had stayed, what potentially could have happened in Dallas. And I've heard it as far as five consecutive. I don't know if that's going to happen because we were also hit by the injury bug. which would have been during that 5 year.
And the 49ers were a formidable opponent.
And Green Bay was very good as well.
Yeah.
You know, that was a great time. It was a great, it was great to be a part of those rivalries. Philadelphia was great at that time. So it was a lot of fun. The statement that I made was actually something that my position coach shared with me right as we were walking off the field. And he said, I've never seen a team.
In Phoenix.
I've never seen a team do a better job of overcoming the coaching the way that your guys did.
And that came from a coach.
That came from a coach. Joe Brodsky, who's no longer with us, but was as honest as you could ever expect somebody to be.
Wow.
And that was because, you know, don't forget, we were 1-3 in December that year.
Yeah.
We were not playing well through the month of December going into the playoffs. We had a couple of things break our way. Atlanta upset San Francisco. As we're flying out to Arizona to play our final game on Christmas night against the Cardinals. If we win that game, we reestablish home field. And the way the dynamic was set up at that time, we couldn't beat San Francisco out there. San Francisco couldn't beat Green Bay, and Green Bay couldn't beat us. So by getting back home field, that meant Green Bay and San Francisco would play earlier. So the way that dynamic was working, we expected Green Bay to be able to knock off San Francisco, which they did, and come to Dallas, which we knew they wanted to win. But do you really believe you can win yet? You've got to get that first one to get that monkey off your back. So that allowed us to get to the Super Bowl. And then we had a really good first half, but we had an okay second half. You know, Larry Brown made some plays. Neil O'Donnell made a couple of bad throws. So walking off the field, you know, to hear that from your coach, it was more of a compliment. It really was. You know, we were, you know, it was, you know, the transition to Barry, you know, the cultural change, you know, the expectations change, you know, from day to day, you know, going from Jimmy to Barry, there was just a lot of stuff going on. And, you know, there was some challenges during the course of during the tenure there. So that was, that was a very interesting conversation I had with him.
It was a great quote, great conversation, great piece that NFL Films did. All of those America's Games are so good. So you are here on behalf of Liberty Tax, and you're here alongside the CEO of Liberty Tax, Ed Bruno, who's also in studio with us. Hello, Ed.
Good morning.
Good to be here with you guys. And so
Ed will handle all the other football questions.
Thanks a lot, Moose.
Ed, how do you think Davis Webb will do it? All right, so let's talk about tax season here because, you know, everybody's going to start getting their returns back and start filing and whatnot, and so there's some kind of tweaks to the legislation and how you can prepare and what's implemented due to the IRS. And so what do our listeners need to know about this?
Well, the big thing is don't wait on Washington. You know, they're not going to get this thing figured out. So, you know, to be able to be proactive and get your game plan put in place, you know, we're just trying to get people to be forward thinking and be a little bit proactive and, you know, go to libertytax.com. There's tools there. If you're a do-it-yourself type person, you'll be able to formulate your game plan from that. If not, you're going to find out where the franchise locations are in your community. And that's one of the great things about Liberty Tax is it's one of the best franchise businesses. So the people that you're going to be talking to are from your community, from your area. They're going to understand the local tax issues. They're going to be able to help you navigate the things that only people in your community would be able to do. And you know, there's some things that were put in place last year that I was not even aware of. That are going to affect people's ability to access their tax refunds from last year until at least the end of February. So Liberty Tax has created a couple of programs that will enable you to access up to $3,250 of your tax refund as early as January 2nd. So I think just to be able to speak to somebody who really understands this, because obviously this is something that's confusing to a lot of people, it just makes perfect sense to me to reach out to Liberty Tax and help them put a game plan together for you.
So, Ed, where can our listeners get to you guys and get access to the information that they need for Liberty?
Yeah, as Moose said, libertytax.com. You can go there and search. We have nearly 4,000 locations across the U.S. and Canada. I would just tell you that, you know, similar to the discussion on football a little bit earlier, this is a very complex thing. We have thousands of tax professionals that work in each and every one of our locations. Very, very happy and excited to help folks that may have questions. And so I would say find a Liberty Tax location near your locale and go there for help.
The website is libertytax.com. Moose, you've got the playoffs coming up as well with the NFC, and I can't figure out who the favorite is. I guess the Eagles are right now. We've only got about a minute to play with here, but this is as wide open as any conference I think may have been in the last decade or so in terms of who's coming out of it.
I remember having a conversation with somebody. We got to the trade deadline in the NFL, which is usually just another day of business, and I've never seen it as active with as many high-profile names as it was this year. And somebody whose opinion I respect greatly, Rick Gosselin, who's a writer down in Dallas who writes for the NFL nationally, said there is no clear-cut team right now. Everybody feels they're one player away. You know, Seattle needs to upgrade their offensive line. The Jay Ajayi move might have been more, hey, we're not really bolstering our running attack as we are keeping Jay Ajayi away from anybody else out there, especially the Dallas Cowboys with the Ezekiel suspension.
Yeah.
So that really kind of tells you where everybody sits this year. It's going to be wide open through the playoffs, which I think makes it fun.
It makes it a lot of fun. Moose Johnson joining us here on the show. Ed Bruno, CEO of Liberty Tax. Guy, this is a lot of fun. Thanks so much.
Yeah, good visiting. Good catching up.
Absolutely. When we come back, more on the Eli situation. You can dial us up at 855-212-4CBS. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
You're in a 5-minute break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.